All right.
So I always think, what is the difference between ensample and example? You know, mm-hmm. I would like to have both of them defined together so that I can see, okay, this is this and this is that.
But they are so close, I don't know if you can really find it out. And so, because when you look in the dictionary, you look at ensample, and it'll say example. You look in example, and it says ensample. And you're like, no, wait a minute, guys, help me out here. So they are really close. And so, again, just a frog's hair between the two of them, and I don't know what that is. But anyway, I like to think that an ensample is more of a living example. Somebody that you can see and go, okay, so I need to pattern myself after that person. Okay? Of course, everybody will let us down except the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, these people are in here for our ensample to start patterning ourselves, not off the bad things they did, but off of their faith. Okay? And so, in the book of Judges, Judges are deliver the Israelites from their enemies. So we've been seeing that in the book of Judges. And in the case of Samson, it's the Philistines. Because we've seen Gideon was with the children of the east, and was it the Ammonites? But if you study the book of Judges, you'll start seeing these judges come from all over Israel, and they're dealing with not just one group of enemies. And you'll find out that the enemies are the ones that's all around Israel at the time then. And it's going to be the same thing at the end time when Christ comes back. All of God's enemies are going to be fighting Israel. It's the same group. And so every judge will be a type of Christ. For all of them will deliver or save the people from their enemies, just like Christ does at his second coming. So Christ at his second coming will come in and he'll be their deliverer. Just like in Judges. He'll be their judge, just like in Judges. But it goes more than that. He's going to be their savior. He's going to save them. And somewhat, the judges in the book of Judges are saviors for the people, but not Christ is way more than just, you know, saving them from their enemies. But Christ will also be their king, their Messiah, and their God. So when Christ comes at the second coming, he's going to swoop in. He's going to destroy the enemies. He's going to put Israel back on top. He's going to be on the throne. And so basically, all these stories that we see in the book of Judges are a picture of that. So if you want to find out what's going to happen at second coming, go back and study the book of Judges. Because you'll start seeing little pieces and all the things that go along. And so that's what we need to realize. So we're in Judges chapter 13. And how many of you know the story of Samson? Right? What is Samson's mother's name? Anybody in here? Come on, you told me you knew the story. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. So we're going to talk about that too. So let's read this. Judges chapter 13. And we're going to see if we see any similarities between all the other judges, or Gideon specifically in here. It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now that was the same thing that happened with Gideon, right? For 40 years, they were under the hand of someone else. In fact, let me just hold on to it for a minute. Let's back up to find Gideon. Midianites. It was the Midianites that was in charge then. Now it's the Philistines. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, and thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Verse 12, And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware, so she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. Gideon, same thing, right? He presented a kid. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeth that it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. That's quite a sight. Okay. Now that didn't happen with Gideon, but with this one, the angel of the Lord just goes up with the smoke, with the fire from the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. Okay, same story, okay? But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we get a little more information on this, but there's a lot here. I mean, I could spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to try to get through this story, probably not today, but within the next week or so. But anyway, in this story, we have a lot. Today, I just want to deal with the angel of the Lord appearing to the woman, and then the angel of the Lord appearing to the man. And so, again, pay attention to the words in our Bible, because it'll give you clues that will unlock things in your mind that you've been thinking about for years, probably. And so, if it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. Because if you don't have any questions about the Bible, you're not reading it. And so that's the neat thing about the Bible. You'll have questions that you've read a story, and it may be years. It may be 5 years down the road, and you'll be reading that story again. It's like, oh, I never saw that till today. Now I have the question, I have the answer to my question. Or you might be listening to Brian in the main service, and he's preaching on on John chapter 3, and you'll get an answer to what you were reading in the book of Judges. Because the Holy Spirit will just interject something in your brain, and you're like, bell just went off. Now I understand the answer to my question. But anyway, that's what we're going to look at. First of all, the angel of the Lord and the woman. First of all, in verse 3, he says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now. He said, first of all, he says, behold. So I have on your handout, behold your condition. He tells the lady right up front, you are barren. Barren goes in your blank. Well, she already knew that. But not everybody probably did. So here she thinks this guy is a man of God. She calls him a man of God. Here he has this person she's never seen before comes up and says, hey, you're barren. And she's probably like, oh, I better pay attention to this guy. He's got a little insight. And then he goes, thou bearest not. Now that's key here. Not only was she barren, she couldn't conceive or carry. So that's huge too. It wasn't the fact that they just wasn't having kids. She couldn't have kids. The Lord had shut her womb up. Okay, and so that's number two this guy hit on. And there are seven women in the Bible who are barren. And you've got a long line on your handout, right? And so that's to put these women. So how many of you can name somebody, some woman in the Bible that was barren at some point?
Sarah.
Sarah, okay, Sarah goes in your blank. Somebody else, have another one?
Hannah.
Hannah is one. Anybody else?
Rachel.
Okay. Rebecca goes in that list. This particular woman, Samson's mother, and she's not named, which is interesting. And then you've got the Shunammite woman. And then you have one in the New Testament, well, towards the New Testament, Elizabeth.
Spell Shunammite.
Shunammite. And so there are seven women that are barren in the Bible, and all of these are somewhat of a picture with Mary, even though she's not barren. She's a virgin, but they all picture her because all of these women have sons that are types of Christ. So again, little details that you put in the back of your mind. And so I just gave you the seven women. This lady here is one of the group. Okay? And then this angel of the Lord told her, and you're not only are you barren and you can't have kids, but you will conceive and bear a son. So that's very specific. Again, a lot like Elizabeth with John the Baptist, a lot like some of these other people that we mentioned. And he says, so you shall conceive and bear a son. So when she's saying that, you think she's paying attention? Yeah, when the angel tells her that, I mean, her eyes probably lit up. Okay? Because in the Old Testament, and even today, you know, if the wife can't have a baby, that is a pull on her heart. Let me just put it that way. Especially if she wants children. If the couple wants children. And I know some of us have kind of been there. And so it's not easy. And I'll give you another instance. Heather Borntrigger wanted kids for years and couldn't have any. Didn't think she'd ever have any. She told me once, she said, my sisters are having kids like rabbits. I can't even get one. And so I felt really bad for her, but then she has a little Ruth now, so that's a miracle right there, because it just wasn't happening. But with this lady, she gets the news. She's going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son. And then B, the angel told her, beware what you do. Drink no wine. Wine goes in your blank. And drink. So beware what you do. The woman, drink no wine or strong drink. So what would strong drink be?
Whiskey.
Well, we all laughed, but I tell you what, we were all thinking that. because that's pretty strong. I remember there people would say, oh, you get a sore throat, drink some whiskey. I had terrible sore throat. I drank some whiskey, and I'm like, I'll keep the sore throat. I don't want that. I mean, this is bad. Who could drink this stuff? I mean, you have to be on your deathbed to like that stuff and drink it. I'm like,
you didn't do it right.
I didn't do it right? No. I'm supposed to inhale it, or I mean.
No, you're supposed to put it in tea with honey.
Oh.
Or you put it in.
So I'll tell you this story. So I probably don't have time to say it anyway. So Carrie has this terrible sore throat.
I had strep.
She had strep throat. And she's like just beside herself. She goes, Bob, I'm willing to try some whiskey.
What?
She goes, I need you to go up and get some at the liquor store to get some and get some whiskey. So this is what I say. This is what I say.
No, I thought we had one.
No, I don't. No, we didn't. We didn't. Remember, we gave what we had to the baby calf. Remember?
You have to fill in a lot of those blanks.
Anyway, so a little calf's born in the snow when it's cold out. They're not doing well, give them a shot of whiskey with some milk, and it'll perk them up. So
that's why we have.
So we probably had some because of that. But anyway, but I think we were out. So anyway, I told her, I go, now wait a minute. I said, if I go up to the liquor store up here by the grocery store, what am I going to do if I walk in there and my pastor's in there and sees me? And she's like, what would he be doing in there? But yes, whiskey would be one, because that would be a strong drink. I don't know what else you would call it.
My doctor said, get some whiskey for your sore throat and your cough, and that will get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it did get rid of hers. Of course, I think she chugged. I mean, she drank a little bit of it. But she's like, it did help her. But anyway, strong drink. And then he says, don't drink wine or strong drink. Okay. And then he says, do not eat any unclean thing. Okay. So, all right. And then, let me see where I'm at. Verse 5, it says, and then my next point here, number C, is see what you
do.
I said beware what you do, but this one, see what you do. But yet it says here in verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Does that word lo ring a bell with anybody? Have you ever seen that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Where did you see it at, Paula?
Christmas story.
Yeah. So, turn over in your hold your finger here. Go over to Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. We're in the middle of the Christmas story. This is, I think, Linus reads this in Charlie Brown Christmas, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. That word lo means to see or to behold. For years I thought it was the angel's name. No. When you study your Bible out, you'll find that word lo shows up in our Bible specifically 158 times. Every time it's mentioned, it means to see. It's like somebody shaking you and goes, see this. That's the word lo. Okay? And here we see it again, back in Judges. So it just means to see, to behold. And again, what you do. And it says in verse 5, it says that the angel told her, thou shalt conceive, thou shalt bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. So razor goes in your blank. The angel of the Lord is still speaking with the woman. And it says, he shall be a Nazarite. Nazarite goes in your blank. I'm giving you a lot of blanks here, aren't I? Because he's just giving her more info. But here's what I want you to catch. He shall be a Nazarite unto God from what? The womb. Womb goes in your blank if you have a blank there. So where does God say that life starts? In the womb. So if you have anybody that wants to know, can you pin that down? Right here. He's probably other places, but here's a really good one. Okay. In the womb. And then don't miss this at the end of verse 5. And he, that's talking about Samson, the boy that's going to be born, shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Don't miss that little word, begin, because you know what? We're going to find out that Samson doesn't finish the job. He starts to, but he doesn't finish it. Remember Gideon? Remember Barak? When Barak and Gideon was when they had their battles and they chased them out of the country, didn't they? Killing them. They didn't stop till they got the whole army and the whole group done. I think God had plans for Samson to do a really good job on the Philistines. But he didn't go all the way. Just keep that in the back of your mind, okay? So, let me see, get back to my notes. Okay, so, underline that word, begin, because we're going to see he doesn't do it all the way. So notice that the woman came to her husband to let him know all that was told her by the angel. Well, yeah, I would suppose if you was the woman and you had this, you'd go and tell your husband right away. And she calls the angel a man of God. Again, so we see several words for the angel of the Lord here. But we're going to see that part of them are said because they don't know who they're dealing with. Remember Gideon? He didn't know who he was dealing with either till the end. Now, she goes and tells her husband about what this man of God says, which, was that the right thing to do? Yes, because the woman is under the authority of the man, but can you name a woman in the Bible that did not do this? It should be very easy for you. I'll give you a clue. It's number one. Who was number one woman? Who? Eve. Before she did much with that serpent, she should have went and grabbed Adam. She didn't do it. This lady stays under the chain of command and goes to her husband and says, hey, man of God came to me. This is what he said. Okay. So we're going to look at what the angel of the Lord, number two, says to the man. And the man's name is Manoah. So the first thing he does after he hears this, he prays. Now that's a good thing. That tells you a little bit about the character of this man. Verse 8. And Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And again, she grunts to get him. But anyway, so we're going to deal a little bit with, okay, what's the angel of the Lord say to Manoah? The first response that he did was, he prays. He says, I want, God, will you send this man again and let him teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born? So there's a few things I want to point out here under your bullet points. Manoah believes his wife. Now, I don't know, there's sometimes when Carrie tells me stuff, and she'll say, do you believe this? Do you believe me? Let me tell you right now, I always say yes. I don't know if it's a test or what, but she goes, this, do you believe that? Do you believe me? I'm like, you just told me, so I have no reason not to. So I don't know if she, are you making stuff up sometimes? I don't know, but I don't think so. But Manoah believes his wife. And then Manoah, in the next blank, includes his wife in his prayer. So everything I see Manoah doing at this point, he doesn't just jump the wagon and put it all on him. He always has his wife in the mix, which is the way it should be, right? Okay, all you women should be going, yes. So, and again, he's the woman's involved in it because she's the one having the child, so she should be in all this. So I don't see any male, what do I want to say, chauvinistic attitudes here.
It's toxic
masculinity. Okay. So, Manoah wants to make sure that they do everything for the son that they're supposed to do. Okay, so also notice, the angel of the Lord appears again to the woman first. I don't know why that is. Maybe you have an idea on that. Why does he appear to her, not the man? Maybe he wants to see if she's obedient. I don't know, but she runs to get her husband. So every time, she's under the authority of her husband.
Do we listen better than you men do?
Is that it? Okay. That could be.
What did you say?
So one thing I want to point out is, you know, Manoah had a relationship with the Lord. He's praying and the Lord answered him back. Okay? He answers his prayer. The man comes back, goes to the woman, and she runs and gets her husband. And then when Manoah comes, he asks the angel of the Lord if he's the man that appeared to his wife. And what does he say?
I am.
I am. You guys paying attention to the words? Who is the I am?
God.
God. It's Christ in the Old Testament, right? Verse 11. And Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, how shall we order the child? And what shall we do unto him? Again, he's very specific. He's like, he wants it backed up again. He wants to know exactly what he had told his wife. And he doesn't ask this. Here's the one thing I see. He doesn't say anything like, wow, how come you're choosing us for this? He doesn't say, how can this be because my wife's barren? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, are you sure you got the right couple? Manoah and his wife have confidence. Confidence, I think, is a blank. Goes in your blank. In what the man of God says. They don't question him. Okay? And so the angel of the Lord replies to Manoah down in verse 13. He says, let everything I said to the woman be obeyed. He says, beware. The word, he doesn't say obeyed. He says, beware of everything I said. But basically he's saying you need to obey and you need to do what I've said. Okay? And then he goes, but he adds a little bit to it. He says she cannot have anything from the
vine.
Okay? So anything from the grape. So not just wine. He says anything from the vine. That would include grape juice. So not just wine, not just strong drink, but anything from the vine. So no grape juice at all. Or drink wine, or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. So the next thing we see in the story, and I'm kind of just surmising this whole chapter here. Manoah asks the man for his name, and he says it's secret. I don't think you'll see that anywhere else in the Old Testament. It's secret. Do you know why it's secret?
It's
not revealed until the New Testament. So Christ's name, Jesus, is not revealed until the New Testament. And so here it's called secret. Okay. Manoah and his wife are like Gideon. They don't know exactly who they're talking to. She calls him a man of God. And so does Manoah. And Manoah, like any good Christian today, after getting some good news and stuff, offers this man of God a dinner. Okay? He must have been Baptist. If you want to know about Baptists in the Old Testament, probably bring him here. See, he wants to do a dinner. And the man says he will not eat, but if Manoah wants to do a sacrifice, that it must be done unto the Lord. And when the sacrifice was presented, the man miraculously put fire to it, because that happened with Gideon. Remember with the story with Gideon? And he's doing the sacrifice. But in this one, the angel of the Lord ascends up in the smoke, in the fire. That wasn't the case with Gideon. And so at this time, they realize who they've been talking to. And Manoah is uptight, and he's like, oh my. He goes, oh my. He goes, we've done it now. We've done it. We've seen God face to face, and we're going to die. We're done. We're going to die. And I don't want you to miss this. His wife's reply was, well, silly. If the Lord kills us, who's going to raise the child? Now, I don't know if that's what she said, but that's my take on it. And it's funny that the man's all, he's uptight, we're going to die, and the wife's like, okay, let's reason here a little bit. Does that happen with you guys? Probably not, but okay. An eye roll or two. No. That'd be my wife would be saying, have you thought about this? Silly. Okay. Or whatever word you might say. Listen, you moron. So, now in this story, Samson's mother's name is never revealed. And I don't know why again. So I'm going to give you all some homework. Okay. So, and we're going to get out early today. So I want you to go home this week and read the story of Samson, just to get it in your mind. There's only four chapters, okay? Four chapters. And I want you to realize how they raise him. That's what I want you to look for. How do they raise Samson? Do they follow the rules that the angel of the Lord told them or not? That's number one. And we'll compare notes next week, okay? Also, while you're reading through this story, I want you to study out why you believe that Samson is in God's hall of faith. Okay? So you've got two homework assignments, okay? And again, it's like we know the story of Samson, we know these stories, but yet when we go back and look at it, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much more there than I've ever thought of. That's why our Bible tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. How many, we all know the story of Samson, right? But have you really looked at the details? Are you looking at what God's trying to teach us through this man and his story? And I'm going to look at it a little bit from, like I said, his parents' point of view. How do they raise Samson? Do they do it according to what the angel says? And then I want you to look, and we'll talk about that, like I said. And this is going to hit all of us. Because all of us in here, who in here has no children? We've all got children in this room, right? Okay, so it's going to hit where the rubber, what do I want to say? The rubber meets the road. It's going to hit all of us. The concept of this. How did they raise their son? And then why is he in the Hall of Faith? So we'll talk about that next week. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get out a little early.
And last week after the sermon, we got out early. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
Yes, we did.
But how much early? I think I was right on track, actually.
You know, it's Brian always runs late. That's